Genesis chapter number 2, with the time that the Lord has given us to look into His Word. And I trust that we will quiet our hearts and we'll put aside all the distractions of things that we have coming up, maybe even later today or later this week, and just spend some time concentrating on the Word of God for a few minutes. Now, Genesis is not the only place we'll be, so if you can have your Bible out and your Bible prepared and ready to turn to some passages of Scripture this morning, but we're going to start there in Genesis chapter number 2. And I want to get us caught up to where we're at, because we had revival last week, and the Sunday before that I started this thought that we're going to continue today. And so we gave the first part of this message and this thought two Sundays ago because of the revival that was in between. But we talked about how that we've been talking about this thought of always abounding. And how that we have things that God, throughout His Word, He gives us responsibilities as His people. Some things that we need to be always abounding in. But we took a moment several Sunday mornings ago to talk to us about how that God has given us responsibilities, but there are some things that are outside of our control, so we have to rely upon His ability. So we're relying upon God's ability. And so He says to us, the things that you are responsible for, you take care of those things. But if they're outside of your control, you turn it over to Me. I have the ability to take care of you. I have the ability to save you. I have the ability to keep you saved. By the way, we can't do those things, can we? We can't save ourselves. We can't keep ourselves saved. We can't answer our prayer requests the way God can. We're not able to. We don't have power like He does. We're not all-knowing like He is. And we're not everywhere present like He is. And so there are some things we rely upon Him. But at the same time, He says that you have responsibilities. And we mentioned, again, two Sundays ago, that the responsibility that God gives us is the result of the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So several weeks ago now, we talked about how that we have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ and that responsibility that God has given to us. Remember, we had challenged you with some responsibilities that God gives us when it comes to being a faithful steward. So we're to be a faithful steward of the time that God has given to us. That's our responsibility, right? Faithful with the testimony that God has given to us, the treasure that He has given to us, the talents He has given us. Those are things that are our responsibility, but they're connected to the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked from John chapter number 8. We're not going to go back there this morning, just by way of review. We talked in John chapter 8 how that freedom comes from truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. As a matter of fact, we heard that a little bit in our Good News Club this past week. We were talking about the belt of truth and how that when we wear the belt of truth, we know truth because of the Bible. And then we learn that Jesus is the truth, right? So His Word is truth. And then Jesus is truth as well. And so if we live in obedience to His words, the Bible says in John chapter number 8 that we are His disciples. And as a result of the knowledge that we have of the truth of God's Word through finding it in His Word and knowing it through His Son as well. Remember, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So God's Word is truth and He is truth. And so we look into His Word and we find out what truth is. And that truth that we find in Christ brings us freedom from the slavery of our sin. And we looked about that in John chapter 8. And then we also went to Romans chapter number 6. And we gave a statement two Sundays ago about freedom. And I want to give you another one this morning that I hope will be a blessing to you this morning as well. We said this, number one, this was the first truth that we gave you that the Bible says about our freedom that we have in Christ and freedom from the slavery of sin. We said, number one, that true freedom is found in boundaries. True freedom is found in boundaries. And we talked about how that throughout the Word of God, God teaches us throughout Scripture that He has set up boundaries for us in our life. So yes, He's given us freedom from the slavery and the servitude of sin, but at the same time, He has set up boundaries for us to follow. Not because He doesn't love us, not because maybe perhaps what a young person would say, well, you're setting up these rules for me because you don't want me to have any fun. No, it's not that at all. Really, the opposite is true. It's because He does love us, right? And He realizes that I have to set up boundaries so that this can accompany, these boundaries can accompany the freedom that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we took you to a passage of scripture in the book of Galatians, and then we went to the book of 1 Peter for a little while. And we found out, last time we met together, we found out that our freedom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, but in order to live in this freedom and in order to follow these boundaries he has set up for us, we cannot give in to the flesh. Our fleshly desires may want to go past those boundaries, just like a child in disobedience may want to go past the boundaries. Or we gave the illustration of a dog that is in a fenced-in area. We went out visiting yesterday, and we came to this yard, and it said, "Beware of dog." And so if I ever come to a fenced-in area, I've tried to teach my children. They come along with me. And I tried to teach my children. I said, one thing we need to do is we kind of need to rattle that gate first. Man, if you rattle that gate and you're making a little preparation there for if that dog hears that gate, he's going to be coming. So we rattled that gate a little bit, and we didn't hear anything. And so we went into the yard, knocked on the door. And, of course, the dog was in the house barking, trying to get out at us. And so we were able to talk to the lady. She was very friendly, very kind to us. We were able to make our way out. And my wife even looked back at the yard, and she said, I think after we leave the yard, the owner there of the house was trying to let the dog out, but he was going to be let out into an area where there was a fence. If he tries to get past that boundary, he can suffer consequences, can't he? And so we're not to use our flesh. We're not to use the liberty that we have as an occasion to the flesh, the Bible says, so that we give into our flesh and we just do what our flesh wants us to do. We don't have the liberty to do that. So God says that, yes, there is freedom, but there's boundaries. And we're not to give into the flesh, but instead we're to walk in the Spirit. And he says, as you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then we went to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. We're not going to read all these verses again, but we talked about how that freedom comes with the expectation that God says, I'm expecting you to live with self-control in your life. Again, so that you don't give into the flesh, but you live a life that is controlled by the Spirit. The Bible even talks about that in the fruit of the Spirit, right? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He says you're to have self-control so that you live a self-controlled life. And again, don't give in to the whims of the flesh at all times. But we live self-controlled lives. And then we talked about how that boundaries were found in the book of Romans. We went to Romans chapter number 13, and we talked about how that we cannot live or function without boundaries, without rules, without laws in our life. And as we obey the rules and the laws and the boundaries that we have, the Bible tells us as we are living in obedience, the Bible tells us it keeps us out of trouble. It keeps us away from something that God does not want us to have. So yes, there is freedom in Christ, but at the same time, that freedom comes or is connected with boundaries. Now, the second thought I wanted to give you to now continue on with this thought about freedom and the responsibility that we have as God's people, you really have to heed the warning of number two now. All right, so here's number one. We said number one, true freedom is found in boundaries. But number two, the second thought, and we're going to see it here in Genesis chapter number two, the second thought is this. Boundaries can only be exchanged for bondage. I hope you'll get that this morning. Boundaries can only be exchanged for bondage. See, if we are to go past the boundaries that God has for us, you say, well, wait a minute, God says I've got freedom. Yes, but that freedom comes with boundaries. And God says there's something, there's things that I want you to stay away from. There's some things that are okay for you, but there's some things that you need to stay away from, and you cannot go past those boundaries, because when we go past those boundaries, they will always only be exchanged for bondage. Look with me, if you would, in Genesis chapter number 2. We know that in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible tells us that everything was created in Genesis chapter number 1. So we see in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And if you were here at the week of revival with us on Wednesday night, the children had... they had a kids' crusade every night, and they came out here on Wednesday night, and they told us the days of creation. So they had learned the days of creation during their kids' crusade, and they came out here, and they told us the different days of creation, what God created in those six literal 24-hour days that God created everything. It didn't just come about through a big bang or something just evolving. We know God created everything, and we read that in Genesis chapter number 1. But then in Genesis chapter number 2, God begins to give us some details about this creation. some ways in which he describes for us what he created. And one of the things that he tells us in Genesis chapter number 2 is a boundary that he had set up for Adam in the garden. Now remember, the garden that Adam was living in at the time of creation was a perfect place, right? As a matter of fact, because he was living in a perfect place, there was freedom in that, wasn't there? There was freedom from sin being around him and freedom from different things that we might struggle with today because of sin that's around us. But God still set up a boundary, didn't he? And that boundary is found in Genesis chapter number 2. Would you look down at verse number 15 with me if you would? Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, by the way, real quickly here, we'll pause at verse number 15 for just a moment and say this goes along with what Brother Merrill preached to us about the importance of work. We learned that on Tuesday night, right? We've got the responsibility to work. And by the way, he sets up a wonderful pattern for us even in the Garden of Eden. What did God give to Adam right away? He gave him a job, didn't he? He gave him work to do. And he said, Adam, right from the very beginning of creation, you're going to have a job. And that work is to dress the garden and to keep the garden. I understand that's a side thought, but wow, the importance of work here in this passage. But then look at verse 16, if you would. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now God's going to set up a boundary here, isn't he? He's going to say, there is something that is connected with your freedom. It is a boundary that I must give to you. And here's the boundary that he gave to them. He says in verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What he means by that death there in verse number 17 is that they were going to be separated from God. There was going to be a penalty for their sin. They were going to be separated from God. Of course, we know along with that comes physical death, but he's talking more here about a spiritual death, right? You're going to die spiritually, and you're going to be separated from God. So the boundary that he gives is this. You can eat of every tree of the garden, but I've got one right in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that's the boundary. You have to stay away from eating of that tree. Well, then when we move into Genesis chapter number 3, we know that the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter number 3 that the serpent comes. And he's more subtle than any beast of the field. And he begins to have this conversation with Eve. And he said, did God tell you that you couldn't eat of this tree? See, he did that on purpose because, again, he's trying to keep you away from what is good for you. See, that's what people will say about the boundaries that God gives. Well, he's only putting those in my life to keep me away from that which is good, or maybe that which will allow me to have some pleasure or fun or just to enjoy my life. That is not why God gives boundaries, and Satan used that same lie on Eve, didn't he? And he said, God is trying to keep you away from it because he knows that if you eat of that tree, that your eyes will be open and you'll be just like God, knowing good and evil. That's why he wants to keep you from that tree, from that fruit. And notice what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. Now notice, this is a verse in Genesis chapter number 3 that would be connected to something we hear about later in 1 John chapter number 2. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 that we're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the Bible says, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So the Bible tells us in this passage of Scripture that we just read that those are the three things that Eve gave into: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Man, I'm seeing it with my eyes. It's affecting my flesh, and Satan has told me that my eyes are going to be open, and I'm going to be just like God, knowing good and evil. So she gives into the lust of the flesh. She gives into the lust of the eyes. She gives into the pride of life. Remember, God had a boundary set up on purpose because he knew that the only thing that you can ever exchange a boundary for is bondage. And I don't want you to live in bondage, so I've set up this boundary for you. Now notice what the Bible says at the end of verse number 6. and did eat. This is Eve. She did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What happened as a result of Genesis? What we read in Genesis chapter number 3, sin entered into this world, didn't it? Now you talk about bondage. They had freedom initially, didn't they? And with that freedom, it was found in boundaries. You're living in a perfect place, a garden that's a perfect place. The only thing I'm asking you to do is dress it, keep it, take care of it, name the animals, work, labor, but then I'm also asking you not to take of the one tree. Don't eat of that fruit. That is the boundary that I give you. And the Bible tells us that because they took of that fruit, their eyes were open, they realized that they were naked, and sin entered into this world. And that's why we would say this thought, that every one of us that have been born into this world are born with a sin nature now because of what happened in this garden that we're reading about here in Genesis chapter number 3. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all failed God, haven't we? We've all sinned. We all have a sin nature. You say, well, what is the best way for you to describe what this sin nature does? Well, this sin nature is our want, is what we would say when we say we have a want to sin. We have a desire or a want to sin, meaning this, nobody has to teach us how to sin, do they? Because of that sin nature that we have, nobody has to teach us how to sin. Instead, we have to be taught how to do that which is right. Because our want to, our tendency, our desire is to go and follow the flesh and follow that sin nature that we have and give into that. And as a result of the choice that was made, the Bible says sin entered into this world. And really the consequence of going outside of the boundaries of God was that now they were in bondage. And they were in the bondage of their sin. Remember last time we met together 2 Sundays ago, especially if you were here with us, although we did give review, we said that in the book of John, and then in the book of Romans as well, it talks to us how that through Christ and through truth, which again is found in His Word and found in Christ, we can have freedom from the slavery of our sin. We could use the word this way because this is what we're teaching about this morning. We can have freedom from the bondage of sin because boundaries are only exchanged with bondage. So now there is bondage. The consequence of going outside of the boundaries of God was that now there's bondage. Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to take time to read that verse this morning, and I hope you'll listen to the verse as I read it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says these words in Galatians 5 and verse number 1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Now, liberty is opposite of bondage, right? Liberty is opposite of slavery. So he says, I want you to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. This is Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. So Christ made us free from the bondage and the slavery of sin only if we've put our faith and trust in Him and called upon Him to be our Savior. So he says, now here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now watch what the last part of the verse says though. Because remember our thought now, boundaries can only be exchanged for bondage. Notice what he says at the end of verse number 1. He says, and be not entangled again. He uses the word again. It's so important for us to remember that he's using the word again. Meaning if he's using the word again, that means it's happened at some previous time, right? So he says, be not entangled. Now the word entangled there would have the idea of being enslaved by something, or being a servant to something, or being in bondage to something. So he says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's he trying to say there? He's trying to say that before you got saved, you were bound in your sin, weren't you? You were in bondage. You were in the slavery of your sin. But God says, I've set you free. But with that freedom comes boundaries. And if you try to live outside of those boundaries, it'll only lead to bondage. So we'll pause for just a moment because we certainly don't want anybody to be confused on this. You say, all right, well, wait a minute then. If I have freedom through the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm no longer a slave to my sin. What if there are times where I do give in to my flesh and the old nature and the old man? Does that mean I lose my salvation? According to the Word of God, over and over and over and over again, we read the fact that once we are saved, we are always saved. We know that that salvation is eternal. So our relationship will never change. But here's what we have to remember. The fellowship that we have with God will. And we ought to have a desire to say, I want to have a good, clean, pure fellowship with God. If we give in to those fleshly desires and we go outside the boundaries of God, it leads us to that bondage and that slavery of not being able to have that fellowship that God wants us to have. Until we restore that and we get things dealt with and we get things right. And that's what God desires for us today. If we've gone outside of those boundaries that he has for us, to just confess that, forsake it. He said, if you confess it and forsake it, you'll have mercy. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It causes a struggle and a bondage with our fellowship that we desire to have with the Lord. And so God's desire for us is that we do not go outside of his boundaries, because he knows that leads to bondage. But the last thought that I want to give you this morning, and I hope you'll make application of it as we finish the message this morning, and this is the thought. Thought number three, to go along with what we were talking about here. Freedom is always connected to boundaries. But then boundaries can only be exchanged for bondage. But the third and final thought in this message about the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I hope will be a help to you in the second part of this message, and it's simply this. I hope that God will encourage you with this. That boundaries will always change as you grow in the Lord and you learn more of him. The idea this morning is that our boundaries will always change as we are growing in the Lord and we are learning more about him. Would you take your Bible and would you look with me to Luke chapter number 12 for just a moment. Luke chapter number 12. And let's notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 48. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 48. While you're locating that verse, we're going to read this verse with this thought in mind. That your responsibilities and your boundaries are going to change as you grow in the Lord and as you learn more about him. Look what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 12, and we'll look at verse number 48, but we're concentrated really only on the last part of the verse. So Luke chapter 12 and verse number 48, the Bible says this, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." Now you notice that? To whomever much is given, much shall be required. Notice the end of the verse. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now, what is that Bible verse teaching us? The Bible verse is teaching us that our boundaries and our responsibilities that God gives us, yes, we have freedom. But God says with that freedom, it is connected to boundaries. And I do not want you to go outside of those boundaries, because it only leads to bondage. And your responsibilities and your boundaries will always change as you grow in the Lord and you learn more of him. I guess the greatest idea we could ever give on this is the idea that we would think of as with our children, perhaps. Now, I know there are some that are sitting here that have never had a child that they have raised. I understand that. But if you think today of parents that are perhaps raising children now, or maybe parents that have raised children in the past, or maybe grandparents that are working with grandchildren now, you think about how that responsibilities and boundaries with children change as they get older, right? As they get older and they start to understand the difference between right and wrong, we start to add boundaries, don't we? And we start to add responsibilities. At first, it may be just that we're wanting you just to listen to the word no. If you could just listen to the word no, and you can try to apply that, you'll keep yourself from a lot of trouble. But then, when our children get a little bit older, it's not just the word no, is it? Now it's changed because their age has now changed, their growth has now changed their boundaries. It's changed their responsibilities. Now we're expecting more of them, right? Because they're growing older. They're knowing the difference between right and wrong, and we're trying to establish those things in their mind. That's what God is saying about the Christian. As you are growing, and as you're becoming more like Him, as you're learning more of Him, your responsibilities are going to begin to change, and your responsibilities grow greater. The qualifications for what God desires for you to do grow greater. As a matter of fact, if we don't believe that, we could just take our Bibles and turn, and we won't for sake of time here this morning, but we could turn to the book of 1 Timothy. And in the book of 1 Timothy, the Bible tells us that God gives qualifications for those that are called to be a pastor. What is he saying there? He's saying the qualifications are greater, right? If you say you're called to be a pastor and you're called to serve the Lord in that full-time role, God says the responsibilities are greater on you. Then following that passage of Scripture, he gives the qualifications and the responsibilities for a deacon in a church. The two officers that are in a church. You've got the pastor. You've got the responsibility and the duties of a deacon. And he says, hey, these are responsibilities that are greater because of the position that you are going to hold. The fact that you have a greater position means that you have greater qualifications, he's saying. Now, I'm not trying to say that the position of a pastor or a deacon is greater than any other Christian. I don't mean that. I'm just saying that that responsibility that has been laid on them requires greater qualifications. And that's what he says in his word. I want to take you to a couple passages of scripture really quickly to finish our message this morning. And they're found in 1 Corinthians. Would you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 with me for a moment? I hope that we'll put all of this together with a few Bible verses that we'll read here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. And we're going to start, once you've found 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, we're going to start in verse number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 6. Now, you probably remember, if you've studied through the Old Testament of your Bible, you probably remember there was a time in which Daniel and three of his friends, three Hebrew friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were taken from their home in Jerusalem, and they were taken captive to a place called Babylon. Well, in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says that Daniel refuses to eat the meat that is offered on the king's table. Now, there's a reason why he refuses to eat that meat, because that meat was first offered to idols. Well, the Bible brings that back up here in the New Testament of our Bible. It begins to talk about meat that is offered to idols. And notice real quickly, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 6, it says this: but to us there is but one God. I'd say amen to that, right? There's one God. Amen. And notice what it says: the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Now look at verse number 7. Because this now gets into the thought of the idea of eating meat that was offered to idols. Look at what he says in verse number 7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. Okay, so when a man sits down to eat meat, he might not have the knowledge that there is one God. He may be eating meat as it was offered to idols. And by the way, when they would offer their meat to idols, they really had several goals in mind. They were offering this meat to idols first before they ate it, because they figured that if they would offer it to the idol first, they would be able to gain favor. Oh, if I offer it to the idol first and then I eat of it, I'm able to gain favor. But not only that, but they wanted to show great reverence to that false idol that they had set up. Now, Paul says here to the church of Corinth, we know there's only one God. But he said some people don't have that knowledge. So notice what he says in verse number 7. He says, howbeit there is not every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So some are supposing that as they eat, their meat was offered to these idols. He says that some don't have the knowledge that we have. As a matter of fact, he even goes on in this verse, in verse number 7, he makes the phrase, for some with conscience of the idol, notice this, unto this hour. You say, what do those three words, unto this hour, mean? What Paul's trying to say there is there are some around us that even have knowledge of God. They even know Him as their Savior, but yet they're still weak in their faith. They haven't grown to the point where they've given up their meat that is offered to idols, and they're still a little confused on that. And because they're confused on that, did you notice the end of verse number 7? He says their conscience is weak, and it's defiled because of that. But what is Paul trying to say here? He's trying to say they're growing in the Lord, though. They're going to come to this knowledge. They're not there quite yet. They're what we would refer to in the Bible as a weaker brother. Now, does it mean they're a weaker brother because they're not as strong as another Christian? No, it just means that they're not growing. They've not grown quite as much as somebody that might have been saved for a longer length of time. So we refer to him as a weaker brother. Now, notice what he says in verse 8. Now, you got to see this. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Meaning that if we eat this meat or if we don't eat this meat, whatever choice we make, it's not going to make us that we're a better Christian, or it's not going to make us closer to God whether we eat this meat or whether we don't. Look at verse 9. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours. Now you say, what do you mean by this liberty of yours? Well, liberty to eat this meat. And he says, we don't want to ever use this liberty that God has given us to eat this meat to allow it to become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Now notice verse 10. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Meaning you may be eating that meat, and you know in your own heart you're not eating that meat as it is first offered to idols. But somebody else may see you eat it, and they may consider the fact that you are eating it as meat that is offered to idols. And so he says, what's going to happen at the end of verse number 10? He says they're going to become bold about it, and they're going to start eating it, but they're eating it in the wrong way because they're offering it first to idols. Now, there's a point in all of this. Look at verse number 11, if you would. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against God. Now, you've got to get verse 13. If we would read all of that and we wouldn't get 13, it wouldn't make any sense to us. Here's what Paul says at the end of the chapter. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth. Notice the end of the verse. Lest I make my brother to offend. What's the idea of what Paul's saying here? He says, if my testimony can be more effective, if I am willing to give up something so somebody else that's a weaker brother will not stumble or do something they should not do, then that is exactly what I will do for the honor and the glory of God. You say, all right, why did you bring that up? Because this is where Paul is saying, I've grown more in the Lord to know and have responsibility and boundaries enough to know this is something I should do in my life so that I don't offend somebody else. Which the whole idea is this, that our responsibilities and our boundaries are going to change as we are growing in the Lord to become more like Him. Look at one more passage of Scripture with me, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then we'll finish all of this. And we'll put all this together to finish it here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, look down at verse number 23. Man, this is good right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 23. Now, while I read this verse, may you have this thought in mind, that as you're growing in the Lord, as you're learning more of Him, as you're becoming more like Him, your responsibilities, your boundaries are going to change. So if you've been saved any length of time and you're growing in the Lord, your boundaries are going to change. Your responsibilities are going to change. Notice what he says here in verse number 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. What is he saying there? He said, I have learned as a Christian, because I'm growing in the Lord, because I'm learning more of Him, that things may be okay as far as the law of God, but they may not be what's best for me. See, that's where God's saying you're increasing in your responsibilities. You're increasing in your boundaries enough to know that you are, that what might be okay as far as the law is concerned may not be what's best for you. And so you say, because I've have that responsibility, because I've learned that and there's been a boundary set up, I'm going to stay away from what might be okay but might not be best for me. Notice he finishes the verse in verse 23 by saying this, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now remember in the book of Ephesians, he says one of the things we ought to be doing in the local church is to edify the brethren. We're to edify people. We're to build up others that are around us. Well, the idea is here is this, things might be lawful for me. It might be okay for me to do it, but it might not build up others that are around me. Do you see the idea here? As you are growing in the Lord, you're starting to understand your responsibilities more. And you're starting to know that if I do something, somebody around me that's weaker might be offended. It might hurt them. It might cause them to sin against the Lord. So I'm going to choose to give up what might be okay for me because it's not going to build up somebody, or it might not even be best for me to have in my life. God's changing responsibilities. He's changing boundaries. Now I'm going to leave with this thought here this morning. As we are growing, things are changing. We've got to be willing. We've got to be yielded. We've got to be obedient to whatever God would have us to do. And here's the thought that we'll finish with. You will never get to a place where you'll be completely grown to what Christ would have you to be until you get with Christ in glory. So the idea is this. It goes back to that old song we sang. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Just because you are growing in the Lord, just because you are learning more of Him, just because maybe you have been a Christian for X number of years, and maybe you say, well, I've been a Christian much longer than somebody else around me, but that doesn't mean you have gotten to the place where you've grown completely. We have to understand that we are always going to be growing, right? So, if we are always growing, then that means our responsibilities and our boundaries are always changing, aren't they? Give you an illustration to close. We got to the point where we understood that we needed to trust Christ as our Savior, right? By the way, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and God speaks to your heart today, I hope that you'll settle that with Him today. And you'll get to a place where you understand that you're a sinner and your sin separates you from God, but He loved you so much that He willingly gave of His Son to pay the price, and you just call on Him and ask Him to be your Savior. See, those that are sitting in here that have done that, you got to a place where you realized, I need to be saved. And you put your faith and trust in the Lord. And you could go back in your mind to that place and that time where you called on Jesus and you asked Him to be your Savior. You might not remember every word you said, but you remember, hey, there was that time, there was that place where He spoke to my heart. He drew me to Himself and I prayed to Him and I asked Him to be my Savior. And then after you got saved, you started to look into the Word of God because you wanted to grow, right? You wanted to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you found out there was a step of obedience that God wanted you to make. And that step of obedience was to follow Him in what we call believer's baptism. So you say, all right, now that's a step I need to make. And so you're growing in the Lord, right? And so what is God saying to you? That's your next responsibility. That's the next thing I want you to do. And so you made the step. You said, all right, well, I'm going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If there's somebody here that's not done that, I encourage you to let us know that. And we'll arrange a time where you can follow the Lord in believer's baptism as God would have us to be, as God would have us to do. That's a step of obedience. So you got to the place where you realize, all right, that's a step of obedience. But then you wanted to grow more. So you realized as you were hearing the preaching of God's word, and maybe perhaps as you took out your Bible from time to time, you realized, hey, God wants me to read this book every day. And then you started to realize that's a responsibility that God has laid on me. I'm growing to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So now you start reading the Bible every day. And then you start praying every day. And then it doesn't take you long as you're reading through the Bible to say that, to come to a place where you realize that church is important. Man, and if I'm growing in the Lord, God says I'm not to forsake the assembling of myself together as the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So I need to get in the house of the Lord. And maybe even you came across that passage of Scripture where the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you say, man, that's a good thing. I'm going to learn as I'm assembled with the believers and we're getting to hear the preaching of God's word. I'm getting to have fellowship. We're getting to sing. Man, this is a good thing. And so you started to come in on Sunday morning. And then you realize, wait a minute, I'm growing in the Lord. There's more responsibility. So now I'm going to start coming to Sunday evening service. And then you started growing in the Lord and realize there's a responsibility there. And so you said, hey, Sunday school's important too. Man, I got to be in church for Sunday school. And you applied that to your life because you wanted to grow in the Lord. You wanted to be more like Him. And then you started to realize, hey, wait a minute, there's a Wednesday night service too. Man, I ought to come to the Wednesday night service so that I can be growing in the Lord and do what God would have me to do. And then it wasn't long before when you were growing in the Lord and you were learning what He'd have you to do, you say, man, I'm in church every time the doors are open. Man, that's a wonderful thing. But it doesn't stop there. Because then I start to read in God's word and I start to realize He wants me to start giving. Man, so then I realize I've got to be a cheerful giver. And that's the way that God provides for the finances and the needs of the church. So then you started giving and you started being a cheerful giver. And you started giving generously and you were happy to be able to do that. But then you were reading in God's word and you realized, wait, it doesn't stop there. There's more responsibility that God has for me. And as I'm growing in the Lord, as I'm learning more about Him, there's more responsibility. So then I started to realize I need to be a witness for the Lord. And so then you took time to learn how to be a witness for the Lord and learn how to share your testimony and learn how to share your faith with somebody else. And you said, man, I'm growing in the Lord. I want to be more like Him. I'm learning of Him. So then you started to share your faith with other people that were around you. But then you realize, oh, it doesn't stop there. Man, I'm reading in the Word of God. And by the way, we touched on this a little bit in our starting point class this morning, that God desires that His people live a separated life. So you start to realize, wait a minute, I'm in the world, but the Bible very clearly tells me I'm not to be like the world. So you started to perhaps change the way you dressed. Man, I want to start being modest. I want to start dressing in a way in which I can show others that I'm a Christian, that I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, and be separated from the world. And maybe you gave up some of those sinful practices that were in your life, and you started to realize that every part of your body needed to be surrendered to the Lord. So you were careful what you watched, and you were careful what you allowed your ears to hear, and what you allowed your mind to think on, and things you allowed your hands to handle, and places you allowed your feet to take you. And you were very conscious and aware of that. Why? Because you're growing in the Lord. And you're learning more of Him. And He's given you more responsibilities. And then you start to have some convictions over sins that were in your life. You start to realize, wait a minute, there's some times where I'm worried. And the Bible calls worry a sin. And so I can't be worried anymore. I've got to ask God for help with that. And then you start to realize, hey, there's some anger that's not supposed to be in my life. And you start to read God's word and you learned of that. And you realize, I got to confess that anger. And maybe some bitterness that was in your heart. Do you see the idea I'm trying to share with you? You're always going to be growing, aren't you? And as you are growing in the Lord and as you are learning more about Him, those responsibilities start to change, don't they? So may we never, as a Christian that we would say, I've been a Christian for a length of time, may we never look at a younger Christian and say, well, they need to be exactly where I'm at in order to be where God wants them to be. No, we're all growing, aren't we? And God's sharing responsibilities and boundaries with us, and they are changing as we're growing in the Lord. Now I'm going to read two verses, and I'm going to finish this passage with, or this message with these verses. In Ephesians chapter number 4, you might ask the question, well, wait a minute, when do we get to this place where we're fully grown? Where we're everything God wants us to be? Well, we get there when we get to glory, don't we? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 13, the Bible says this, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now watch verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What's he saying? He's saying you got to get to a place where you're maturing in your faith so you're not giving in to just all of the whims around us and all of the false teaching that's around us. I had a conversation at the door earlier this week when we went out door knocking with a man that had some very strange beliefs. And he had some strange beliefs that he assumed were coming from the Word of God. He even asked me if he could take my Bible for a minute and he could show me a verse that was going to go along with this thought that he had about eternity. And so I said, well, yes, I've got my Bible on it. I took it out of my back pocket and I handed it to him. And he said, that's strange. I can't find it. He said, I thought it was in here, he said. And he couldn't find it. You see, we've got to get to a place where we're learning and growing so that we don't give in to the false doctrines and the false teaching that's around us. But instead, learning, responsibilities, boundaries changing as we are growing in the Lord and becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So the thoughts are this, freedom is always connected with boundaries. And we will only ever exchange boundaries for bondage. But remember too, that as you are growing in the Lord and you're learning more of Him, your responsibilities and your boundaries will change. Aren't you thankful for freedom that we have in Jesus Christ? Absolutely, we're thankful for that. Are you thankful for boundaries He's given to us? I hope we are. And then I hope we're thankful for the fact that we're growing in the Lord to become more like Him. If you'd say, well, my growth, I'd have to be honest, is kind of stunted right now. I'm not growing like I should be. Would you get to the place where you're in the Word of God like you should be? learning more of Him so you can see the next steps that you need to take in your life, because those steps will never come to an end. Until you get to glory, those steps won't come to an end. So let's be growing to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ as God changes our responsibilities and our boundaries. Father, thank you so much for the truth that we've learned from your word today. I pray, Lord, as we have heard the word of God, that you have spoken to our hearts and you've done the work that you desire to be done in our lives today.